Sefer Tehillim. And this particular kapitel was written by David HaMelech, and it was written after the episode in Nog where Ahimelech was killed by Shaul. So the first thing we're going to do is just review briefly what happened in this particular story. This particular maaseh is in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Chaf Aleph. And actually, Chaf Aleph, Bez Reder on there, covers several parakim. And Nehonasan, Shaul's son, had promised to help David and warn him if Shaul came, it was going to come after him. When David saw Yehonasan's warning, he fled, and he came to the city where the Kohen Gadol was. At the time, the Mishkan was located, at the time of this particular Maisa, the Mishkan was located in the city of Nova, which is probably Nova in English. And the Mishkan was located here, and Ahimelech was the Kohen Gadol. Now David came to Ahimelech, and he told him that he was on a secret mission. Because Ahimelech was surprised to see David coming in without a whole retinue and without any servants and just sort of slinking in by himself. So Ahimelech inquired, well, why are you here all by yourself? Well, I'm on a secret mission. But you know what? I had to leave so fast that I didn't get any chance to get a sword or any food. So if you would happen to have a weapon and you would happen to have some food, it would be very convenient for me. So Ahimelech figured, well, sure. I mean, that's a secret mission from the Melech. I should give him all the help he needs. So he gave him a sword, and he gave him food. Now, it happens to be at that time, in the city of Nova, where the Mishkan was, happened to be a gentleman named Doeg. And we have met Doeg before, both in Tehillim and in our study of other Svarim in Nah. And Doeg was the head of the Sanhedrin at the time, and one of Shaul's closest advisors. However, Doeg was not what he seemed to be. Doeg had learned all of his Torah for his own benefit, of his own position and his own aggrandizement, and it never seeped inside of him. And Doeg was considered such a Rasha that Chazal say Doeg is one of the four people that have no chaylik in Olam Haba. Wow.
Four Jews?
Correct.
Yeah.
So Doeg was advising Shaul to pursue David. And in fact, when Shaul first saw David and asked, who is this young fella? Doeg was the one that suggested, you know, before you find out what his qualifications are, what kind of guy, I don't even think he's Jewish. You should check into his roots. And I think he descended from a Moabite convert, and I don't even think they're allowed to convert, and I don't even think the guy's Jewish. Forget whether he's worthy for anything else. So Doeg was the originator and the prime mover behind all of the original Agmas Nefesh in David's life.
Nice.
He was also the head of the Sanhedrin at the time.
Really? So we had a lot of Torah learning on the outside.
Correct.
But people didn't realize that he was really...
Correct. And Doeg only lived 34 years. He died at 34 years old, and there's a medrash that says that Doeg received a taste of what was to come, because the people, when they had a shiloh about the Mishkan, they asked David, even though Doeg was there. Doeg bore a tremendous amount of personal animosity towards David, and a tremendous amount of desire to curry favor with Shaul by giving him advice that would lead to David's downfall. So Doeg happened to be in the city of Nive, and he happened to hear Ahimelech having given David what he wanted, and he went back and he told Shaul that David is in the city with the Kohen Gadol. the city of all Kohanim. Now, Doeg embellished a little bit. And in fact, the title of this week's shir is Killing Me Softly, because one of the things that David HaMelech had to live with his whole life and that constantly tormented him was what we would call today in politics a whispering campaign. Right. You know, sure, he's the Melech, but, I don't know, there was that whole Yichus thing, and remember that whole thing with Bathsheba? Yeah, maybe he doesn't really deserve to be. I don't know if Hashem really forgave him. I was talking to Chaim Yaakov, and he doesn't think either that Hashem ever forgave him. David was a victim of that, one of the things that gave him the most agonist effort of his whole life. One of the things that really, really, really bothered him was the way people behaved in speaking about others. Now, what Doeg did is he embellished one little fact. He said that Achimelech was in cahoots with David. Now, Achimelech had no idea that David was not their legitimate mission from the king, and had no idea that helping David was against the king's will. Now, would he have done it anyway? That's beside the point. Point is that he embellished it by telling Shaul HaMelech that Achimelech had it. So Shaul ordered the entire city wiped out and killed down the last man. Killed an entire city of Kohanim, including the Kohen Gadol, his rage over trying to get done. All on the advice of Doeg. There's an interesting Gemara where one of Chazal say that, you know what? If Yehoshaphat had only thought not only to warn him, but to give him a little bread on the way, perhaps all of this tragedy could have been avoided. Now, in a deeper sense, Chazal are telling us that, you know, a little bit of foresight can go a long way. That David took the warning and he fled and his life was saved, but he had no food and he had no weapon, knowing that Shaul's men would eventually find him. So he, of course, had to ask the Kohen Gadol, maybe if he'd had bread, he wouldn't have asked for the weapon. A little foresight, Chazal say, could go a long way. I use this as an example of that. If only a sack with a couple of loaves of bread had been given to David in addition to the warning, perhaps the entire city could have been saved. So Shaul HaMelech wiped out the entire city down to a man. Killed the Kohen Gadol and all the Kohanim in the city. Only Kohanim lived in the city at the time the Mishkan was there. At that point, David HaMelech wrote this particular kapitel.
So when he found out that the whole city had been killed?
Correct.
So what question? Why does he call Doeg the Edomite?
Now, we're going to see that right now. That's okay. So that's the background of where David was holding in his experience when he wrote this particular kapitel.
He must have been like...
Well, we've seen in Kapitlach before that David HaMelech has had some experiences that would definitely, would definitely best even the best of men. Yeah. And David HaMelech battles back from every single one of these experiences. And Doeg had a lot of talent. I mean, obviously, if he was good enough in learning to become the head of the Sanhedrin, he certainly was no slouch.
And fool everyone into thinking that
and he fool was. Everyone, correct. So David HaMelech wrote this kapitel at that time. So the first pasuk in the kapitel says, L'manatzeach maskil l'David. This is L'manatzeach for the conductor, maskil by David. Now we've talked before, L'manatzeach most likely literally means for the conductor. Remember, all of the kapitelach were sung from the steps of the base of Mikdash. There was a conductor, there were instruments, there was arrangements. It was a whole musical endeavor. So Lamanat said, this is a maskil of David. So a maskil is a kapitel that's coming to teach a special lesson. And the lesson, and now, it would seem that we have something that contradicts all that we're learning about Doeg. Because Chazal tell us that the generation of David HaMelech was incredibly learned, down to the smallest child. In fact, the generation was so learned that Chazal tells us the smallest child to tell you 49 levels of Tumah and 49 levels of Tahara. So how is it that we had people like Doeg, and how is it that we had such an occurrence in a generation so learned? The problem was, even though this generation was so learned, they never completely conquered the Yetzer Hara for Lashon Hara. Give you an idea how strong the Yetzer Hara for Lashon Hara is, that the entire generation was learned backwards and forwards in the most minute halacha, yet couldn't. So Maskil for David. This is a special lesson that David wishes to teach. It happened before Doeg Edomi, when Doeg the red one came, Vayagid Lashal, and informed on to Shaul by Yomer Lo, and said to Shaul, Ba David obeys Achimelech. David came to the house of Achimelech. Now, he informed Shaul. He did more than inform Shaul, really. He added his own embellishments. He added his own embellishments, telling him that Achimelech had participated, when in fact that wasn't necessarily true. Now, one of the things that the Meforshim ask is why, if David HaMelech is writing this kapitel, he's trying to teach an important lesson, and he wants to give us over a point, why is it that he's going to start right away by making it about Doeg? Doeg was a very, very bad father. Doesn't really deserve to have anything written about him. Doeg died at the age of 34 and was clearly receiving punishment from Hashem. David HaMelech wanted to make sure that by specifying here, now here he is, he's talking about, you know what, we want to, the Lashon Hara of this generation is a terrible problem, so I'm going to write a kapitel where I'm going to say exactly what Doeg did. Well, hold on a second. Isn't that a little contradictory? If you're trying to cut down on the Lashon Hara and the Rechilus, let's not tell everybody what Doeg did. He's saying, you know what, like the siblings will say, well, you know what, I'm not going to say Lashon Hara anymore. As soon as I tell you what my brother did, then I'm not going to say Lashon Hara anymore. So I'm going to tell you what Doeg did. That's a big problem with Lashon Hara. But he wanted the people to know why it is that Doeg was getting punished. It's important that they not think that Doeg was a big tzaddik and wonder why this big tzaddik was being punished. They should realize what Doeg had done.
Well, isn't that also the concept of Lashon Hara and Tzoelas? If you're trying, if someone thinks that so-and-so is a tzaddik, but really they're really hurting people, then people need to know the reality of that person.
So. Yeah, sure. So now it says two things here. It says Vayomer Lo and Vayagid. It says two different things. It says he Vayagid Lashal, which is a lashon of Magid, or like Haggadah, right? Vayomer Lo, and he said to him. So it's got two different words. First thing, that Doeg is a smart guy, and it's interesting how well he understood psychology, because Vayagid Lashal. First thing it is, he told Shaul what happened. Now, of course, Shaul was outraged. How could the Kohen Gadol help someone that the king has ordered? Then, all of a sudden, Doeg softened his tone. And he said, I know how that could be rough, Your Majesty. And all of a sudden, he became sympathetic. And now that I think about it, Your Majesty, Achimelech, maybe he didn't really know what he was doing. Maybe it was an innocent mistake. So first he told him, you got to hear what Achimelech did. Same thing people do. What they do is they come and they tell you something that they know is going to get you riled up. And then once you're riled up, they realize they got you riled up, and so they all of a sudden become calm and apologetic. Does that make sense? And then once I'm all riled up, his work is done. Doeg's work is done. So he says, listen, Your Majesty, I don't know. Maybe it just was David's twin brother. Maybe Achimelech gave him stale bread. I don't know. I couldn't really know. But Shaul was already enraged by that point. Vayagid Lashal. So he told the Shaul, and then Vayomer Lo, and then he spoke it over with him. And he came. Now, had Doeg not been there, nobody would have known this. This was something that only transpired between David and Achimelech. Had Doeg not said anything, none of these occurrences would have happened. So everything is laid at the footsteps of Doeg. You can't say that, well, you know what, if Doeg didn't tell him, the 5 million other people that saw would tell him. No. David came El Beis Achimelech. Came into the house of Achimelech. I was walking by, and I overheard the whole thing. And had he not said anything, nothing would have happened. So then David HaMelech says, Matis Halal Barah, Hagibor, why do you pride yourself with evil, O mighty warrior? Chesed, Kael Kolayo. Hashem does kindness all day long. He's calling Doeg Hagibor, the mighty warrior. Right? The greatest scholar, the head of the Sanhedrin. You're not just a Gibor, a mighty warrior, you're Hagibor, the mighty warrior. And in fact, there's a medrash that Doeg bragged after he killed all the Kohanim of his physical and military prowess and having killed everybody. He's Hagibor, he's head of the Sanhedrin, and he's bragging that he's the most capable warrior of the day. But David HaMelech slides in a few words and says, you know what? Chesed Kael Kol Hayom. You can do this all you want, but the kindness of Hashem was stronger than you could fight against. You killed the entire city. You killed the Kohen Gadol. You killed all the Kohani, but you know what? You didn't get me. I escaped. It's Chesed Kael Kol Hayom, because Hashem can do Chesed all day long. You can't fight against the Chesed of Hashem. He can keep doing Chesed and outlast you and outlast him. Gibor, why do you, being evil and being the Gibor, the Sanhedrin head, the military battle-hardened warrior, Chesed Kael Kol Hayom, Hashem can keep going as long as you want. I escaped. David is beside himself. Because of him, all these people were killed. Now, truthfully, it's not really because of him. Because of Doeg, because of Shaul. But to David, the tzaddik, to have been even indirectly responsible for such a thing, is weighing very heavily on it.
He said, you never answered the Edomite. Are you going to get to that later?
Yes. Havos tachshov l'shonecha. The tricking that you've come up with your tongue, taz multash osei remia, is like a razor that's sharpened working in its deceit. Your tongue, you think you're so clever, you came and you used your mouth, instead of using it for learning and for Torah, you used to come up with this tricky idea. It's like a razor that is sharpened in deceit. Ahavtara mitov, and you love evil more than good. Sheker midaber tzedek zela, and sheker, you like to speak more than you like to speak truth and tzedek zela. Now zela we've discussed before.
Isn't that like repeat over and over? Isn't that like...
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you know what Sela means? If you say no, you're in very good company. Because we don't really know what Sela means. So the Mefarshim offer various ideas as to what Sela means. It's definitely used to punctuate a place in the Kabbalah. Right? A triple period, if you will. A strong point. But the word Sela itself, I'm not sure what the actual word means. There are a portion that says Sela is a musical note that would indicate the end of a section.
Oh, interesting. It was more like a note to the conductor himself.
Might have been, and it might also be a word simply meaning enough at this point. Right? It's unclear. We know how the word is used, right. But the actual etymology, if you will, of the word is not very well known to us. So now David says, I have to call Divrei Vala. You loved all the words that ate things up. Lashon Mirmah, you loved words and tongue of deceit and trickery. Now, he keeps going on about this deceit and trickery. There's one more thing that we have to know about Doeg. And that is that Doeg is going to take his tongue of trickery and deceit to the ultimate end. What he's going to do is, when Shaul dies, the Navi says that Shaul's servant comes and informs David that Shaul passed away, that Shaul was lifted. And tried to curry favor with David, you know, as the new presumptive king. Rashi says that servant was Doeg. And at that time, David drew his sword and killed him. It seems in the Nach, just a simple reading, without what we know from Chazal, that he killed him, Shaul was dead. And he was trying to curry favor. Well, currying favor is a bad thing. Usually don't kill you for it.
So he felt, so David felt at that point he could then kill Doeg.
Correct. But at that point, so really Doeg right now is Chai of Misa and should be killed. Right. But David doesn't have the authority to do so. Once Shaul is not the king, David kills Doeg. And the Doeg is the servant who comes and tells him, and of all the, if you could possibly imagine, after all this, he tries to curry favor with David. Unbelievable amount of like what we call today chutzpah. Right. Right? That after all this, he says, wow, gosh, David, my friend, your majesty, really the greatest king who ever has been and should be, been king really the whole time. I was just, you know, I was really working the whole angle so that when you became king, yeah, okay. David isn't buying that, and now he kills Doeg in return for having killed Ahimelech. So he's going to keep using that tongue of deceit. And David says, you know, Gam Kael Yitzatzel Lenetzach. Hashem is going to smash you forever. Yachtecha v'yichasecha me'oil. He's going to break you and tear you from the tent. V'shei reshecha me'eretz chayim sela. And he's going to uproot you from the land of life, sela. What does that mean? He's going to smash you? He's going to smash you. Now, usually David HaMelech in Kefitzelach, when he says something will happen to people, he just says it will happen. He doesn't say, Kael will come and do it. But David HaMelech is making the point, you distorted Hashem's tongue. So Hashem himself is going to smash you for that.
But really David smashed
him. But Hashem took away his Olam HaBa.
Right.
And in fact, it's in Sanhedrin, it's a Mishnah even, that says that Doeg lost his Olam HaBa. Hashem, you distorted his, he distorted Hashem's Torah to such a point that Hashem took away his Olam HaBa. Hashem is going to smash him for eternity. But David can kill him in this world. But Hashem took away his Olam HaBa. And he says, he'll tear you from the tent. What does that mean, he'll tear you from the tent? Tent usually means the Mishkan. We used to, when Ohel, like in the Chumash, we say, Ohel, we're usually talking about the Mishkan. And here, this is still in the days before the base of Mikdash, we had the Mishkan. It's going to tear you from the tent. Tell him, you know what? All of your Torah will never be taught in Klal Yisrael. There is no halacha that we have ever, that we learn in the entire Shas and all of Torah Shebaal Peh in the name of Doeg. So not only did Hashem smash you for eternity by taking away your Olam Haba, even worse, all the Torah that you learned and that you gave over to your Talmidim is going to be torn off. So rip those pages out of the book. Vesherashcha, and uproot you from the land, Eretz Chayim Sala. Right, and from the land, no descendants. Literally no descendants, and no descendants in learning.
What?
Ahimelech had no descendants because he was killed by Doeg.
How could he not be married?
They killed everybody there. They killed the whole city.
They killed the whole city. Right.
And so therefore Ahimelech has no descendants. There's nobody today that can stand up and say, I'm descended from Ahimelech.
Right.
And you know what? There's also nobody that can say, I'm descended from Doeg. So Hashem seems to have done three things to him. He took his Olam Haba, he took away his Tyra, and he took away his descendants. And in fact, there's a Medrash that says that when
but
it came...
But wouldn't Doeg have had children if he was the head of the Sanhedrin? He should have had to be married, right? Maybe he was his childhood?
I don't know. He had no descendants. And the Medrash says that Hashem sent three Malachim to destroy Doeg. The first Malach he sent was to erase his learning. Sent another malach to burn his neshama, so he'd have no Olam Haba, and he sent one malach to scatter his ashes in every base medrash in the land, so that people would remember the lesson of Doeg. David HaMelech says, "This is what's happened to you because you falsified Hashem's Torah." Vayiru tzadikim veyara, and you know what? Tzadikim will see what happened to you, and they'll have yira ve'alav ishvaku. And then they'll look at you and they'll laugh. Well, what do you mean that they would laugh? So Chazal tell us that for a long time after this, in fact, down very much to the second base of Mikdash, when the Sanhedrin was disbanded, that whenever the Sanhedrin took leave of each other, they would have to go back to their city. And they would come and they would meet. So when they would leave, their greeting was, is that may you not be like Doeg, and that may no Doeg come from our gathering. So the name of Doeg was used for another 1,000 years, as the Sanhedrin saying, we hope, our very firmest hope, is that nobody comes from us like Doeg. Good men and tzaddikim will awe and laugh at your name. Hine agevra lo yisham elokim az. And you know what? You did not make Hashem your stronghold. Vayivtach berov ashra. And you trusted in your wealth instead. Ya'oz v'havasa. And you drew strength from your treachery. Trusted in his wealth. Doeg expected to get rewarded. He didn't expect Shaul to be killed. So Shaul was Nichter. He had expected to be heavily rewarded by Shaul and to become a wealthy man. And he put his trust in that. That, you know what, if I do this, Shaul will reward me with great riches. The monetary possible rewards for Amelus are tremendous. I mean, he has basically the entire state treasury at his disposal. And Doeg was hoping to tap into that. Now it's all gone. He put his faith in the wealth. And what happened? Nothing came of it. It says, Vani, Kazayas, Ranan, Vabes Elohim. But you know what? I'm like an olive tree that's fresh in the house of Hashem. V'tachti v'chesed Elohim olam v'ed. And I trust in the kindness of Hashem forever and ever. What does he mean by that? I'm like an olive tree that's fresh in the house of Hashem. So you know what happens to an olive? What do we really get out of olives that we really use a lot?
Oil.
Olive oil. How do you get the oil out of an olive? You crush it. You don't squeeze it. You put it in a big olive press and you crush it. Right? There's very little left of the olive when the oil comes out. So David HaMelech, you know what? That's me. I trust in Hashem. And you can squish me and squeeze me and press me. But you know what's going to come out? Olive oil. You know why? Because I trust in the chesed of Hashem. The Al-Sheikh says that David is making a deeper point that's applicable to all of us. And that is that all sometimes need crushing in order to remind us of that which we already know. Everybody knows you're supposed to trust in Hashem. Right? I think that if we were to get kindergartners together and ask them, are you supposed to trust in Hashem? They'd all say yes. It's not a complicated thing, right? How often do we need to be squished and squeezed and pressed in order to remember that? And all of a sudden, when we're squished and we're squeezing, we remember, oh, yeah, I trust in Hashem. Sometimes, though, the purpose of that squishing and crushing and squeezing is to remind us to trust in Hashem. But David HaMelech says, you know what, I'm fresh in the house of Hashem. You can keep squeezing me. All the, when you crush me, you don't crush me. What comes out? Beautiful, pure olive oil. And why is it beautiful and pure? Because I always trust in the chesed of Hashem. Most people would have a hard time. One of the things we talked about is that no matter how hard of a hit David takes in today's Lashon, his response is instinctively one of trusting in Hashem. Most people wouldn't get up from a hit like this.
On account of you,
they'd be depressed for the rest of their life.
Group of people who are tremendously holy. I'm assuming the Kohanim in this generation were all holy.
The Kohanim that were killed were all tremendous, etc. They had this incident not happened, presumably they would have lived long lives and been tremendously successful Kohanim. So how many people could live with this on their conscience? But David says, you know, I trust in Hashem. Whatever Hashem does, and I trust in him olam v'ed forever. It doesn't matter whether today is easy or tomorrow's hard, or today is hard and tomorrow's easy. Right? Most people couldn't take a hit like that. And even Shaul HaMelech, which we've talked about before, Shaul HaMelech, and we won't go into it too much right now, but Shaul HaMelech was a tremendous tzaddik. Chazal tell us over and over all kinds of inyanim about his tzidkis and his incredible midos. And look what happened to Shaul. He took a hit and he couldn't take it. And he ended up pursuing David. Even though he vowed not to kill David when he caught him,
You took a hit because of the thing with Og, right?
With Og.
Og, sorry.
Right. And the problem was, and again, I'm afraid to digress too much, but Shaul was a tzaddik, so he was basically, he was too much of a tzaddik to be the Navi. In other words, Hashem told him, you have to kill everybody.
He
had a hard time doing it. Because he had compassion, he had rachmanis. And we've said before that one of the reasons David is the king forever and ever, and yet he comes from a yichus of Rus. Now Rus was a tzedekist and tremendous, but if I were writing the story, he was finally worthy to be the Melech. Instead, no, he came from Moabites. It's simple background. Right? Chazal tell us, you know why? You gotta have a backbone to be the Melech. You gotta know when to turn on the compassion, Rachmanis, and when to turn it off. He could have had compassion for Goeg when he came. Said he killed him. Because that was the right thing to do. So Shaul HaMelech couldn't stand up to the Nisyanis. Right? Yet he was a tremendous tzaddik, Chazal tells of which there to this day are few tzaddikim on the level of Shaul HaMelech. But David HaMelech had these Nisyanis, and he came back every time. He came back, and he said, I trust in Hashem forever and ever. And he says, Eidach Ala Olam, and I'll thank you forever. Because you have done it, V'akvah Shimcha Ki Tov Neged Chasidecha. And I will place hope in your name, Hashem, for it's good in the presence of all the people that follow you. And I will thank you forever, forever for this. I will thank you forever and ever for this. So what's the this that he's thanking him forever and ever? Because he's sure that Hashem, Mita Keneged Mita, he's not worried. It has never crossed his mind that Doeg will not answer for this. It's never even crossed David HaMelech's mind. How many people... You see, if somebody does something wrong or says something against you, you know that Hashem will take care of it. And then it'll work out, meet a Kenegan meeting. And you don't really need to do anything about it. But boy, it'd be nice to slap him or something, wouldn't it? Because, you know what? Sometimes our emuna in the fact that Hashem works everything out stretches a bit. Right? And it's hard to stay firm. Because you look around, it doesn't really look that way, does it? Doesn't always look, you know, the why does bad thing happen to him? So we know that Hashem works it all out in the end. Right? And we're all, you know, we're all B'nai Amunah, and we all believe that. Right? Yet, sometimes you have to work to reinforce that belief. Says David HaMelech, you know what? I'll thank you forever, Hashem. What's he thanking him for? He's thanking him for giving Doeg his just rewards. Hasn't happened yet. But he's thanking him as if it already happened. Because he has betochen in the fact that it will happen, that he's thanking him for taking revenge on Doeg, and for punishing Doeg. Right now it just came from the Leviathans for all the Kohanim and the Kohen Gadol, and he's complete. Thank you, Hashem, for taking care of Doeg. Most people wouldn't be able to say that. To tell him that right then, right away, to be able to say, thank you for doing that, because he knows that he's going to take care of it, is tremendous madrega. So, the kapitel, this kapitel is a pretty short kapitel, both in the number of pesukim and the number of words. It comes after a very dramatic episode, but the kapitel itself is relatively short. I've noticed, and I don't know if this is going to hold true to the rest of Tehillim or not, and this is just my personal observation, so you feel free to disregard it or regard it as you will, and that is, it seems that sometimes, after the more dramatic and intense the episode that motivated the kapitel, the shorter the kapitel. If David HaMelech can sum it up in one bullet shot, what needs to be done. Now, this kapitel basically, okay, tells Doeg is why did you do these terrible things? Well, terrible things Doeg did, but you know what? Doesn't matter because people who are trusting Hashem will be like olive oil. And I'm thanking you, Hashem, because I'm so confident that you're already taking care of it. What are we supposed to get out of this? What are we supposed to get out of this? One of the things that we always try and work with is that David HaMelech is writing each one of these kapitelach as a blueprint for us. So what are we supposed to take out from a particular kapitel is not always clear, because we say the Tehillim and we say the kapitel and we read it and we don't always stop and think, oh, what's the lesson for us here? But what is the lesson for us is the whole point of Tehillim. So what is the lesson for us in this? Very few of us will ever experience anything on the level of Doeg, or on the level of Amalek, or on the level of any of the things that David Amalek is talking about literally. So, I heard a very, very good phrase that I don't know if you're familiar with, that you may be. It's called the fog of war. And people who've been in the military, in combat, talk about the fog of war. And in the fog of war, what they mean is that war can be, you know, we think of war as, okay, these guys went and these guys came back. We think of it as like a very, you know, Masuda-ed kind of thing where, okay, the bad guy shot at the good guy shot back, and we win, and we took in, and we got rid of Saddam Hussein, end of story. In actual on-the-ground combat, it's happening. Things are flying everywhere. Bullets are flying everywhere. Radios are going, telling you what to do. Sand is flying through the war, and it becomes, it's utter chaos. Actual battle is not even managed chaos. It's complete chaos, and you hope that you know good enough what you were doing going in that you come out the other end in the right place.
Well, and that's why they go through such unbelievable training.
And that's why they go through such unbelievable training, because it has to become instinctive, because it's chaos in war. It's complete chaos. And in fact, you hear incidences of what they call friendly fire. They shoot the wrong people. How could you shoot the wrong guys? What, you didn't pay attention in class that day when they said the Iraqis are the bad guys and the Americans are the good guys? What, they didn't? Well, how do you shoot the wrong guys? The fog of war, it's utter chaos. So the lesson of the capital here is that the fog of war applies to life. And that is that life is a big fog of war. It's really chaotic. There are things competing for our attention all over the place. And we have to make instant and immediate responses. How do we handle that fog of war? Do we get embroiled in the fog of war, spinning around like crazy, trying to figure out, I got to run after that Parnassa. Oh, look, I got to run after that. Oh, quick, wait a second, I got to run and do this. Do we get embroiled in the fog of war, and do we let our lives become chaos? Is David Amalek? He says, oh, well, no, not me. Says David Amalek. You can squish the olive all you want. I'm oil trusting in Hashem. Don't get confused by the fog of war. Don't let the fog of war become the fog of life, is David Amalek's message here. And it sounds like a simple thing. Very hard to do. And in our times, the pace of life is incredible. Right? If your great-great-grandparents could pop somehow through a time machine, they would after a day, they'd be exhausted. Right? Because think of yourself such a life that so many things competing for your attention. Right? And in the fog of war, you feel like you have to make these decisions, you have to turn, you have to go, and you have to do, and the next thing you know, it's all over. Do you think Doeg woke up one morning and said, I think I'll be a Russian today? You know, yesterday I was working on being a tzaddik, but it's sort of boring. I think I'll be a Russian and get a lot of money. Doeg succumbed to the fog of war. He had all these things pressing on him, and he didn't focus on his betachon in Hashem, and he didn't focus on going through and doing what I've been trained to do, as you pointed out. Instead, he let the fog of war take him and started shooting everywhere. And he got caught in a friendly fire. I don't know how much farther we can take this mushroom, but he got caught in, he got run over by a tank. He got caught in friendly fire, right? But he got caught in the fog of war. Because he couldn't see his way clear. He didn't have the training and the instincts ready and fine-tuned. So Mrs. Sulfover has made a perfect point. The point of this is we're training so in the fog of war, we can see clearly through. We train that with our betachon in Hashem. And that we know that no matter what Hashem gives us, we're coming out the other side. You know what? I've been trained to do this. I'm not going to let the fog of life strike me. I'm not going to worry about whether my stocks are up 3% or 4%. That's the fog of war. I'm not going to worry about whether my kavod was slighted because last week in shul I got shishi instead of chamishi. Or whatever the case may be, or I'm not gonna care that someone came over to my house and didn't approve of my level of housekeeping, right? It didn't like my decorating and made inferences that perhaps I wasn't a great balabusta. That's all the fog of war. So you can spin around and shoot friendly fire, like get caught up in it, like Doeg. And all of a sudden, the next thing Doeg knows, do you think he never planned this out? All of a sudden, Doeg wakes up one morning and he's begging Shaw for money. And he never stopped to think, how did I get here? He succumbed to the fog of war. Don't succumb to the fog of war. Keep clear. And the way you keep clear is you train yourself to go right through that fog. Just like the infantryman trains himself, you know what? When everything starts flying, I know what I do. Shoot the guys wearing that uniform. And when someone tells me to stop shooting, I stop. And I'm not going to be distracted by helicopters and tanks and things roaring all around. Is that what a melech? You know what you do? You go through life, you concentrate on the Tachan B'Hashem, and you don't get distracted by all these things. Or you end up like Doeg.
You know what I was thinking, is that little, the game that you play with the little, the ferrets pop up and you're trying to hit the ferrets?
Yes.
You know
yes,
what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, and you're like trying to be one step ahead of the stupid machine that's going really fast, and you're like, oh.
And you never win.
Yeah, no, I was just thinking, like, that was the image that came up, was like you're, you have to be able to.
So my military muscle, analogies may not be perfect, never having been in combat, but I think that we can understand the point that in that fog, it's very chaotic. And if you're not trained at the moment what to do, you don't have that training, you don't have that to fall back on, you end up like going. So you don't know which way out of the fog. And I already, it's even more important. That's the message that Tavid HaMelech, I think, is trying to get across to us in this kapitel. Any questions? Next week,